Morning, everybody. Monday, 7th of March, and our market was doing okay first thing this morning, but it is now down. Resources doing really nicely. BHP and Rio are up. Gold is flying. Oil absolutely flying last week. Oil price was up 26%. The US oil price, Brent, was up 21%. So oil stocks absolutely flying along. I think Woodside's now up from $22 to $33 in about a week since the war broke out. Gas prices also flying along as well. The S&P 500, we're doing very nicely, but the S&P 500 down in four of the last five sessions. Wall Street down 180 on Friday despite good jobs numbers. All the commodities are seeing a benefit out of the war, so the metal prices are up as well. Nickel up 6.6% on Friday, copper up 3.2%. We've got Rio, I think, going ex-dividend on the 10th. All the hot stocks, I'll come to this, five things to look out for this week, but all the hot stocks are suffering. Tech stocks, lithium, even Bitcoin as a barometer of sentiment, going down on the war, and the commodity space going up, gold going up. I'll get to that in a minute. By the way, the Russian stock market is down 40% before it stopped trading on the 25th of February. Goodness only knows where it would be now. Since the ruble has dropped 40%, it is now 0.8 of a US cent, and interest rates in Russia have gone up from 6% to 19%, which means we're not going to see any Russian tourists, certainly no Russian tourists with a mortgage anywhere in the world for some while until all that reverses. That's about that. We've got no results. That's a bit of a relief. We have a few ex-dividends around. Tom will get to that. We've got a few things on the calendar I will get to. I have been in Marimbula last week, got soaked playing golf. Hardly a problem compared to what some people are putting up with in Queensland and northern New South Wales. Henry's away this week. I am away for the next 2 weeks, going into the outback on a motorcycle. Henry will be back, and that's about that. Tom, what's without results? There can't be too much going on today, but what's going on today?
Thanks, Marcus. I should say welcome back.
Thank you.
But yes, not too much happening today. Mining and energy stocks starting the week on a solid footing. Mining sector was up, do you know how much last week?
I'm going to say, BHP and Rio are up about 10% in a week, so I'll say 8%.
9%. Oh, very good. And energy was up 8.85%. Not surprising, as you said, given the commodity moves. Tech stocks bid lower. SQ2 is off around 8% today. Big four banks easing. Consumer staples edging a bit higher. Of interest today, the S&P Dow Jones announced its March 2022 quarterly rebalance. So look out for those changes in the newsletter, and they will be effective prior to open on the 21st of March.
Usually what happens when they have index changes is most of the ASX 300 and below changes are pretty relevant. The ASX 200 changes are the most relevant. The 100, 50, 20 don't really matter too much. It's the ASX 200 that most people use as a benchmark. And there was a bit of research out from Credit Suisse a few years ago now, but they said that from the announcement to the day of inclusion, a stock would generally rise on average around 5%. Then in the week after inclusion, they drop about 2%. So there is a benefit and similar sort of effect for stocks dropping out. But the stocks dropping out have usually performed pretty terribly anyway, so they don't really get too much damage from the index stuff. But the index stuff is relevant. So from today to, what was the date?
March 21st.
21st of March, the stocks that are going into the ASX 200 are the ones that usually get a bit of a lift. So whilst you carry on, I'll just find out what those are.
Well, thanks for that, Marcus. And if you're wondering why CSL, REA and QBE are trading a bit lower today, it's because they are trading ex-dividend. AGL is down a touch after rejecting Brookfield and Mike Cannon Brooks' bid. They revised their bid a little bit higher, but AGL said it wasn't enough. And South 32 up on commodity moves, but also there was news that smelter sale would not proceed. We've got some RBA speeches this week, not likely to offer many surprises. We'll pretty much give Philip Lowe another opportunity to talk about the injection of uncertainty from Europe and the bank's progress on its economic targets. We also have inflation data from the US and China, which will be of interest. The inflation data out of the US released in a bit of a timely fashion before the hotly awaited March 15 Fed meeting. And that's about it today. Yeah, not much happening on the front.
Good, thanks very much. Henry away. Chris, what have we got on technical trades?
I've got a lot to cover off on today, so I'll be as brief as I can. First of all, did a session with Stuart McPhee last week, recorded that session talking to the charts, the ASX 200. 200, of course, and the sectors. Very informative. I always learn something sitting down with Stuart. So worth checking out if you haven't yet.
What? Sorry, where was that?
That's in the technical trading section of the newsletter, but it was just a Zoom recording.
It was on Saturday as well as posted.
I put it in the Saturday edition as well, yeah.
And what was the conclusion on the ASX 200?
That it's sideways, which we can all observe anyway. But no, he had some very good risk measures that he shared with the audience. And this is also, you can learn it in Stuart's course as well. So nice little plug there for the course, which were quite important. So worth checking out.
I've got a couple of charts in the SPY section today on the All Ords, or no, the ASX 200. And it's if you use the highly sophisticated technical analysis technique of blurring your eyes and standing back, clearly the market in a long-term chart is top of the trading range at the moment and looking toppy. And in the short term, it's clearly trending down. But I think the notable thing is it's trending down, but it's not a major panic. It's not a cash-out moment. I still think this war is going to produce a buying opportunity rather than a reason for us to desert the market for a while. And we haven't really cashed up our forever portfolio. We've got about 13% cash. I'm quite comfortable despite the market's come off. The US is taking it a lot worse than us.
Very different from Henry, though, who's obviously in the small cap space. I think his portfolio is something about 56. So it's interesting, those
56% cash.
Cash, yes.
And he should be, because small companies, when the market sentiment turns, small companies get absolutely smashed. So you really do have to be quick and nimble with small companies.
Very good. Just continuing on, Theme Thursday. So this one created a bit of commentary in the Facebook group. So sold out of the energy theme. This was off the back of coal prices down 33% on Thursday night and energy down more than 2%. I wish I'd held on to it, of course, because of what energy is doing today, but made some very good profits there across those trades. And
but when you say energy trade, what do you mean?
Yeah, so this is an energy theme. So these are these action points that I've been trying to provide for our members, of course, through my little section. It's called Theme Thursday. So I'll identify a hot theme in the market. And the first one that I launched was energy. And in the space of 3 weeks, we had Whitehaven make 30%, Woodside make 17%, Karoon Gas make 11%. Ampol was in there as well. That was a 7% loss. But got out of that theme because I thought the wind was changing with coal down 33% and oil down, like I said. Wish I had held onto it. But more importantly, we launched a new theme the same day that we closed down energy in materials and bought BHP, Rio, South 32 and OZL, and they're already all flying anyway.
So let me get this right, so just so members know, mm-hmm. You do a Theme Thursday,
yep.
And you put stock trades in your tech trade section.
Yeah, so the way that I identify the stocks within the theme is just find the best looking charts within that particular theme. So I've written the rules out. I can have four themes, I think, open at any one time, just in terms of manageability. Started with energy, closed that down, now have materials, but yeah, the way I find the stock is I just identify the best charts. I write a little blurb saying this is why I think this is a great looking chart. So energy closed, but materials doing quite well. And then today I'm having a look at a chart that's in none of those spaces. It's called Aussie Broadband and has done particularly well, has some resistance around $5, but has rising average volume, looks as though it's going to break higher and has been a benefit of that fragmented market, and they're really doing some good things there. So Aussie Broadband, stock code ABB for anyone who's looking for a little trade today. And then finally, my Manic Monday section of the newsletter, where I look at key risks. Today, I'm looking at, of course, the Fed. We know the FOMC is next week. The Russia-Ukraine situation as well. And then I am talking about, I think Henry's been talking about this as well, talking about the possibility of that energy trade. Ben and I were having a conversation this morning. And the materials trade becoming, not yet, but becoming an overcrowded trade. Now, an overcrowded trade, as we all know, is when too many people position themselves too aggressively in one direction. And all it takes is one little pinprick and the whole thing can come forward. Falling apart. So just a risk to be mindful of.
I think when Henry's talked about it before, he's put it quite well. The problem is there's no one left to buy.
Correct. Yeah. And someone gets left holding the bag. So yeah, good point.
I'll come to a bit of that in my bit. Leighton, any broker stuff around?
Thanks, Marcus. Pretty quiet this morning, as Tom was saying. There's no real big upgrades or downgrades or big price movements. QBE Insurance, they provided an update on the scale of the exposure to the floods in New South Wales and Queensland. And that came in line with UBS forecasts. They've got a buy rating and a target price 34% above the current share price. And the average target price there is 35.5% above the current share price. And Citi has dropped its target price for 0.17%, but still retained its buy rating. And the average target price there is 27% above the current share price. And that was really all I had this morning. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Nate. Right, my bit. I've got five things to watch out for this week. And the first one is, look out for the turn. I know everything's running at the moment, gold, energy, commodities, but eventually the market is going to numb to war. If it doesn't miraculously go away with some sort of peace talks or something, but just bear in mind, if you haven't caught this rally in certain things and the sell-off in certain other sectors, then you've probably missed it for the moment. War has broken out. And the experience suggests that the market will always get over this. If it does drag out, it'll get bored of it. And if it miraculously ends, everything tops out. It always happens. And I've got a few charts in this strategy piece today that you can use as a all clear signals when these charts reverse. So the most obvious one is, or the Russian stock market if it ever came back on. If the Russian stock market bounced, for instance, the Russian ruble bounced. If the VIX volatility index, which is still rising, by the way, and is the highest it's been for, well, since last year at the moment, when that peaks out, that'll be a sign that the market's beginning to relax about war. When the gold price, have a look at the chart in the strategy piece today, when the gold price peaks out, when the oil price peaks out, when the Woodside share price peaks out, and I think Chris has probably gone a bit early, haven't you, as you know, with your ending your energy trade, but
yep.
The Woodside share price, it's all fabulous, but it can't possibly last, I'm sorry. The coal price as well has absolutely flown, and same with things like Whitehaven coal, up from $3 to $4 in a week. That sort of stuff is not going to stay around for long. And then there's the LNG price I've got in there, 10-year bond yields in the US, which have come off as the Fed paused their tightening whilst war is going on. When that starts to go up again, you can pretty much suggest the market's getting over war. And if you really want a good one to look at, have a look at the chart of the Russian 10-year bond yield in the strategy piece today. It's not a laughing matter, quite honestly. But I think that's one of the five things to look out for this week, is just keep an eye on the moment this market turns, because it's going to turn and all these themes will reverse. And so the second thing to look out for is look for the opposite happening. Look for gold falling, bond yields going up again, the inflation paranoia is going to cool, and suddenly technology stocks, which have, in our market, the tech sector is down 31% from the top. Our market's been quite unaffected by the war compared to some of the other markets, but that's where there's an opportunity. You hear the zero share price, or the target price is, was it 17% above the current share price? Zero's the obvious chart. I've that in the strategy piece. So look for the turn, look for the opposite happening, because at some point this negative cloud is going to burn off. Maybe not this week, but at some time it will happen. Third thing, we've got inflation numbers on Thursday. Whilst the war has caused the Fed to back off raising rates too quickly, this war is going to cause an inflation blip, and that suggests that post-war they're more inclined to raise rates rapidly than they were pre-war. So we will get back to that inflation theme and higher interest rates theme very quickly, I think. So watch out for the inflation numbers on Thursday. Watch out for the European Central Bank meeting on Thursday as well. They're the closest to the Ukraine war. And although it's every central banker's job, Christine Lagarde, she is an adult. She holds a press conference after the meeting. It is her job to instill confidence, not inject uncertainty. But just watch out that the ECB doesn't suddenly express some fear for inflation or energy that upsets the market. So watching out for that. And the last thing is no results this week, thank goodness. Results season's over, but keep an eye out for all the stocks going ex-dividend. There are a lot of them at the moment, and I think Rio on March the 10th is of note. I think the yield there is 7.5%, something like that. There are a few other things coming up this week as well, but those are five things to watch for. But the main idea is that the market, the themes running at the moment, will at some point top out. If you wanted a couple of ideas out of that, I think things that I would be looking to buy or looking to trade when the market tops out or bottoms out on worries about the war, it would be Xero as one of the major market cap tech stocks, and that has performed terribly in this recent sell-off. I'd also be looking at getting out of things like Whitehaven Coal, which is up from $2.50 to $4.10, and Woodside, which is up from $22 to $31. This is all short-term stuff, but those sort of moves can't last, I don't think. And you'll see the gold sector flying up at the moment. You'd be selling gold when this turn comes as well. It hasn't come yet, of course. But out of all that, I would say there are some quality stocks like Xero, which are, although they don't make a lot of money, not that good a quality, but there are some stocks like Xero, which are a big cap, have been hurt badly and will rally the moment the war starts to look a bit better. So generally, not buying anything yet. I'll keep an eye on all those lead indicators of war sentiment for you. At some point, they're all going to turn and the equity market will rally, but that day is not here yet today. Right, that was my bit. Right, my question of the day, Monday. So the market's not behaving, so let's see if we can entertain ourselves. The question of the day today is, if you were not working your dream job, Marcus, today, what job would you want to do? Tom.
I've had a very long and hard think about this. It's something I've thought about for a while now. And I think I would create a newsletter called Tom Tomorrow, and it'd be filled with fantastic stock market ideas.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure there's a clause in my contract that prevents me from doing that.
I think there is a clause in your contract. I'll show it to you later. Ben.
I think I'd jet my way over to the US and find some startup in Silicon Valley or something exciting and fun to work on.
You can actually do that from here. I've got a friend who's got two sons who started a sleeping
mindfulness app, wasn't it?
No, it's a help you go to sleep app. That's where it started. They now employ 23 people. They went to Silicon Valley. Of course, Silicon Valley's game in inviting you over there and
stealing
giving you
$1 million
is to take half your equity. But they have done that and now have a successful app business running. So Silicon Valley, maybe that's where it is. Or is that so 1990s Silicon Valley? Anyway, Leighton.
Don't know if my genes really allow me to do this, but I'd love to go over to America and be a professional sportsman. Not sure what sport, but I feel like America's got it all over there. So.
Right, okay, good. Yeah, it's certainly where my son would go. Chris?
I would be a Lego master builder because I'm equal parts finance nerd and toy nerd, and let's face it, I'm not an adult. So I would be a Lego master builder.
Yeah, very good. And I think I would love to be a motorcycle journalist, not just because I'm going out the outback on a motorcycle next week, but I have been on a couple of trips with a journalist where we were testing motorbike, and what a fabulous way to live your life. You get to ride, I got to ride around France on five different huge motorcycles and then write it up, and that's what I do, I write. So I think motorcycle journalist is what I do.
There we go.
So good. Tom Tomorrow, I'll look forward to reading that. As I leave you, market has gone from up 23 to down 41. The tone or the trend is still against us. Have a fabulous day, everyone. Tomorrow.